And we're holding page 80 in Sota Ostatic Aleph. So the Gemara had been talking about, continuing on the matter of Har Gerizim and Har Eivol, and about the stones, and about what happened, all the nisim that happened to the Jewish people on the way, and then, so then that led into the discussion about the disposition of the six shvatim on each of the two mountains, and that in turn led to how that compares to the arrangement of the names of the shvatim on the stones of the Ephraim. So now, in that connection, the Gemara had mentioned the point that that Yosef, in one place, is called Yehosef, Eidus B'Yehosef Samai. But then the Gemara had said that no, on the stones of the Ephod, actually, it was written Yosef, but then it was written Binyamin Mole, with the second Yod, as we find when he was first born. The Rambam, mind you, actually learns the other way around. The Rambam does learn that it said Yehosef, and it said Binyamin Chosu, the Nosek Kalim, on the Rambam deal with how he understands this piece of Gemara. Anyway, having mentioned that Yosef had a name of Hashem, a letter of Hashem's name added to him, so now the Gemara goes on to talk about how that happened. And it ties back in again with the stones of the Choshen. Omer of Chana bar Bizna, Omer of Shimon Hasidah, Yosef shekiddush Shem Shemayim b'Seser, Yosef who made a kiddush Hashem in private, that he was together with Potiphar's wife, but nobody else was in the house, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, so he had this chus that one letter of Hashem's name was added to his name, and that's why we have the one time where he's called Yehosef. Yehuda, shekiddush Shem Shemayim b'Fahestia, Yehuda who made a kiddush Hashem in public, which you have two different possibilities. Earlier in the Masechta, when we learned this, it was in connection with the whole affair of Tamar, that he publicly admitted, Sod Kamimani, that she was pregnant by him. Further on, the Gemara is going to explain that it's another matter as well, that it's when Nachshon Ben Aminadav made a public Kiddush Hashem by jumping into the Yamsuf first. So it's actually both. So it's there's two places in which we find that Yehuda was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim v'Hesya, one the person Yehuda and one the descendant of that Sheva. Anyways, Zochav Nikra Kolei Al Shmoi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he has this chus that his entire name contains the name of Hashem. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the entire name is found in the name Yehuda.
He got a letter of Kadosh's name.
He jumped in, okay, but he's doing it as the representative of Yehuda. The point is that Yehuda, now Yehuda wasn't named that Al Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Leah named him because Apam Odeh is Hashem, but the point is that she had a degree of Ruach HaKodesh. In general, parents have a degree of Ruach HaKodesh when they name their children, and it came out that this was going to be because he's the one who was going to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim v'Hesya. I mean, as far as the name Nachshon, actually, there's an explanation. The Rebbe and Rabbi Yitzchak wrote back and forth to each other about the significance of the names of the Nesiim. One point is that Nachshon is Meloshon Nachosh, which has to do with tefillah. Then a person has to, when he bows down and straightens up, the Gemara says he has to straighten up like a snake, not just all of a sudden straighten up, but like gradually. The Gemara says that if a person doesn't bow by Moedim, then his spine turns into a snake. So there's a connection between the Rebbe and Rabbi Levi developed the point that Nachshon Ben Aminadav has to do with Avodas HaTefillah, and which actually that already you have in Torah Ur, actually, in Torah Ur, in Vayigash and Vayichi. It talks about that Yehuda is associated with Hodah and with Tefillah. You can find a pasuk that mentions an official in the Beis Mikdash, HaTefillah, Yehuda LaTefillah. It's spelled exactly the same as Yehuda, but different in the Kodesh, so we see that there's a major connection between Yehuda and then therefore between Nachshon and Avodas HaTefillah. Okay. Anyway, so, Yosef Ma'i, what was the story with Yosef? Now, of course, in the story of Yosef, we know from the Pesukim, but let's analyze what actually happened over there. So, Dechtiv, the Pesuk says, Vayika Yomazeh, it was like on this day, and what that means, the Gemara is going to explain soon. Vayovei Abayis Falasis Malachtoi, so Yosef came home to do his work. Now, Omer Abyechanan, Melamed Sheshneim L'Dvar Averet Niskavnu. So Rabbi Yochanan says, first of all, this means that both of them had in mind an Avera, because what is Yehuda coming home, knowing that Eishes Potiphar is there, and knowing that there may be trouble afoot. In other words, Marshall explains, if he didn't have that in mind, then when he held back, then you could say, because he's afraid that Potiphar is going to find out, and we even find that really upsook him when she's first trying to seduce him, and he says, my master has trusted me with everything, etc., etc., so now that wouldn't be a Kiddush Hashem. But now, when it's Vayihi Kayem Azeh, nobody's there, he's obviously not afraid of anybody in the household, so now he went in there, Lidvar Avera, but then he held back, that is a Kiddush Shem Shemayim Baseser.
This pasuk doesn't say
yet that Hinish Tatarius. Vayikayim Azev. So the pasuk continues. That same pasuk continues. The Einik. Before we get to that, even, I guess, yeah. Just the fact that he's coming, Lassus Malachtoi, Tosfos points out also because it says, Vayovoi Habaisa, Vayovoi Meloshin Via. So that's reason to say, that's reason to say that he came with Vara Vera. There is a good deal of discussion about that, and the fact is, you know, generally we try to, we'll have many times when the psukim say something seemingly derogatory about a great figure in Jewish history, and Chazal will explain kol ha'omer ploni chote in elatoya, and here all of a sudden you have a fairly innocuous pasuk, and all of a sudden we're saying that Yosef is intending for a dvar avera. So actually, the one point is, again, based on what Marashah is saying, that very fact that he came tackled with the intention of doing the Avera, and then in the end held back, that makes the Kiddush Shem Shemayim all the greater. So different Mephoshim talk about different angles about that. For example, mentions over here that, the Gemara is going to bring in a minute, a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, what it means malachta, but still, Rabbi Yochanan would say, even fine, he came in to do his malacha, but still, he's thinking to himself, in the back of his mind at least, that I could be going in to do the malacha, but also that there may come this out of it. The Ben Yehoyada goes into an arichos about it. The gist of it is that basically Yosef had in mind to do exactly that, to inflame his taiva as much as possible, and then to conquer it. And he goes and explains about arichos. Obviously, it's not meant as a form of avoda for a regular yid. It's a very highly dangerous thing to do. But Yosef, on his level, figured that at this point, he explains, up until this point, he'd trained himself, you know, to do alderach, like you have the expression in Tanya, ish chemis malayat soya, comes from a Gemara and Shabbos, like he's going to look at her as a repulsive thing. So in that case, it's not much of an isoyan if he stays away from her. But if he really works on inflaming his taiva and then holds back, then he held that would be the greater thing. Yeah, in a way, I'll derech like we've learned before about Avodah Lashma. So again, it's not meant as a method of Avodah for the average person. But one thing is, by the way, the Medrash says that it helped the Jewish people in the future. The fact that the Jewish men and women were faithful in the Mitzrayim and they never got involved with the Mitzrayim except for Shlomo Sfas Divri, is the men were inherited that from Yosef because he opened the tzinner and made it possible for all the Jewish men later on in Golus Mitzrayim to withstand that. And Sarah in her time had done the same thing as far as the women. So. Anyway. That's what we're saying. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Mind you, the Gemara mentions elsewhere. The Gemara mentions elsewhere, by the way, that Rabbi Yochanan says he himself is descended from Yosef. So. So Shneim Ledvar Aver Niskam. I mean, there is also the point, the Medrash makes the point, what motivated Potiphar's wife to go after Yosef in the first place is because she had seen with her astrology that she and Yosef are going to have descendants together, and she figured it's from her, and she didn't realize it's from Asnas. So then in that case, so Yosef may have realized the same thing, and he also made that mistake of thinking that's going to be with her, but yeah. So the pasuk continues, Vayovar Habayis Halasas Malachta, he came into the house to do his work. Rav Shmuel, so Rav and Shmuel argue what means malachtei. Chada malachas malachtei mamas nichnas. One of them says it means he came in to do his work. The Medrash mentions on it. Marsha brings over here that it means, for example, he had his account books to keep. So he went in there to take care of that matter. The chada malachas tzrochav nichnas. The other one says he's going in to do his needs, meaning for this purpose, for refubia. And here's where Tosfos points out that again, since it says by yovei habaisa. So it means last tzroch of nichnas. I don't know if he was the first one, but could be. The Gemara, by the way, mentions this in a completely different connection. In Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara deals with what the various ways that we know there are lamed tes malachas of Shabbos. Now, one way is the Gemara says because 39 times in Chumash it says the word malacha. Yeah, actually, if you count them, you seem to find more. How exactly we count is a question. And I mean, the Gemara says on the face of it, you have 40. And the answer is one way is this malachta over here. Does it actually mean malacha of Shabbos? Or does it mean a different kind of malacha that we're talking about over here? Anyway. So the pasuk continues, Ve'ein ish me'an shei habayis shom. There was no man of the people of the household there. So why? Efshe bais gadol kabeisa shel oser rosha v'lohoye bar ish, a big mansion like that Rosha Potiphar had, and there's not a single person in it. Where is everybody? Tonet v'rabbi Shmuel osa yoyim yoyim edom haya. It was a goyish achaga. the Medrash says it was the day when the Nile overflowed. As we know, in Mitzrayim it very rarely rains. They get their water supply from every year. There's a time when the Nile floods its banks and goes and then floods all the canals, all the Yehudim and whatnot that they have throughout Mitzrayim. And then so they had that. That was a chaga in honor of their getchkes. So everybody was going to that. Actually, the Medrash brings two opinions on it. One is that it was that. The other one is that there was a new performance at the theater and everyone went to that. So they're all going to the temple of their Avodah Zarah. She says to them, I'm sick. Because she realizes to herself, Omra, she thinks to herself, Ein lo yom she Yosef nisra kafal yom hazeh. There's no better day than this one where Yosef is going to be available and then be mezana with me precisely because everybody else is away. So that's the point that is indeed why nobody was home. And so the pasuk continues, Vakispesehu bezigdo lo mashich v'imi. So she grabbed a hold of his clothing and said, lie with me. So first of all, Tana, now this we have only in Ein Yaakov, we don't have it in the printed Gemara, which is why it's in parentheses. Tana, we learn in a b'raisa, malamach olul mita shneim arumim. They both went into the bed undressed. So Abkadei Kach, he was on the verge of succumbing. The Rif points out, where do we get that from? Because if he's still dressed, then what do you mean she's grabbing a hold of his clothing? Shich ve'imi. It's very easy for him to divest himself of the clothing and then run away. And then what's she going to do? She's holding a piece of clothing. So therefore, the point is that they both went in, arumim. Now, as the Gemara is going to say, he saw Dyukna Shel Aviv and that held him back. So now he wants to get dressed. Now she grabbed a hold of his clothing to prevent him from putting it back on. So therefore, so now she figured now at this point she'll get him. But at that point, the image of his father came and appeared to him in the window. Tosef was bringing from a Moshe Darshan, because the pasuk says the Ein Ish Me Anshe Habayis Shom Baboyis. It says there was no person of the people in the household there in the house. Now why does it need to mention that detail? Ein Ish Shom Baboyis, because it means there was nobody from the members of the household there, but there was somebody from outside the household, namely Yaakov Avinu. So he saw his image. Well, at least maybe only wearing pants. I don't know, but yeah. So maybe he managed to put on something before she grabbed him. I don't know. There are other midrashim that imply that he went out still clothed, because you have, for example, the Medrash brings that Potiphar goes to the priests and they tell him, take a look if the clothing is torn in the front or in the back. If it's torn in the front, then it means he was trying to get her, he was trying to attack her, and she fought him off and ripped his clothing. If you see it ripped from the back, that means he's trying to run away from her, and she grabbed him, and the attacker found it's ripped from the back.
Sure, that she grabbed. Sure, he was wearing it.
Right, but I'm saying, so here the Rif is understanding the piece over here in Ein Yaakov to be saying that he didn't manage to grab it back from her, and that, yeah, at least he went out without a shirt. So, yeah. We should keep in mind, it is true that sometimes in Tanakh and in Divrei Chazal, sometimes Orum doesn't mean completely undressed, sometimes it means underdressed. So it might mean, like, now he's not literally wearing nothing at all, but rather that he's wearing less than he should under the circumstances, but yeah. I understand, but the Rif is understanding that then that she wouldn't have bothered, because what would be the point? Then all we can do is just quickly doff it and then run out.
Yeah, and she had it with her when she showed the evidence. She had it.
Right, but kind of big doyetzla, right? So anyway, so the image of Yaakov appeared to him in the window. Amalei said to him, Yosef, Yosef, asidin banecha sheyichosvu. Your brothers' names are going to be written on the stones of the ephod. The Ata Benehem, and you're supposed to be among them. Do you want that your name is going to be erased from among them? And v'tikore roya zoinus, and you're going to be called, as the Pasuk uses the expression, the one who patronizes zoinus, shenema roya zoinus, the abed hoin, as the Pasuk says, the one who patronizes zoinus will lose a hoin, a fortune. So in other words, you're going to lose this tremendous ruchniyus fortune of being written on these big day kodesh. And here you have to stay away from erva. Kol makom shata motzi geder erva ata motzi kedusha. So if you want to be on the holy stones of the ephod and the choshen, then you have to stay away from this. So there's a vort also, by the way, on the on this that he's saying that the, that he's going to be missing hoin. So first of all, also the word hoin can also first of all marashah. So Rashi says it means shame tov, a good name, which is more precious than any hoin. Marashah says, practically speaking, you have the stone of the choshen itself is worth a fortune, as we know from the famous story of Dalam ben Messina. I saw once a vort as well. So we're talking about how the names were written on the choshen and on the ephod. Now we know that besides the names of the shvatim were written on the choshen, we know also the Gemara tells us in Yuma that the names Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and the words Shivtei Kor, Shivtei Yishurun, the different Gersois were written on the choshen. So that way they have a complete aleph bays. So that way they can get messages from the Urim B'Turim, because like this, the names of the shvatim are missing missing Ches, Tes, Tzadik, and Kuf. So like this, you have Avram Yitzchak Yak, you have Avram Yitzchak alone as a Tzadik Ches Kuf, and Shiv Tei, Kor, Yeshurun, or whatever, gives you the Tes. Now you have a famous explanation. So you have the Rambam writes that Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov are written on top of Reuven's stone, and Shiv Tei, Yeshurun, or whatever, are written on the bottom of Binyamin's stone. But there's a well-known opinion, I think from Avinu B'chaya and other Rishonim, that say that the letters were distributed among the stones, so that each stone would have six letters on it. So, for example, Reuven is only five letters. So there you'd have the Aleph of Avraham. Shimon is another, is also five letters. So the Beis of Avraham. Levi is three letters. He'd have the Reish Hei Mem of Avraham and so forth. They'd be distributed among the stones. Now, according to that, it comes out, according to the distribution, and that opinion also follows the opinion that they wrote Shivtei Yeshurun. So it comes out, Yosef's stone on the Choshen has, besides his name Yosef, has the letters Vav and Nun. And his stone on the ephod, we said before, according to one way of looking at it, at least according to the Rambam's way of understanding the relevant Gemara, was not Yosef, but rather Yehosef. So therefore he's being told, you're in danger of losing a hoin, hey vav nun, the hey that's going to go with your name on the stones of the ephod, and the vav nun that's going to go with your name on the stones of the choshen. So don't do that. Miyad, so right away, instead, Bateshev, the Esam Kashtoi, so instead, right away, his bow went back to its original state. So now the Gemara is going to darshan over here, the phrase, you have the phrasing in Yaakov's bracha to Yosef, the Gemara is going to darshan phrase by phrase. The pasuk goes, Bateshev, the Esam, first of all, explain it just on the chat level, Bateshev, the Esam Kashtoi, his bow stayed in its strength. By a fozu zloya yodav, and his arms were bedecked with gold, by a fozu meloshin paz, midei avir Yaakov, from the hands of the mighty one of Yaakov, meaning Hashem, misham, from there, roya evan Yisrael, he became the shepherd of the stone of Yisrael. So that's the pasuk chap of the pasuk. Now the Gemara is going to darshan this pasuk phrase by phrase as referring to what Yosef went through at that time. So first, Vateshev, Esam Kashtei, Amr Rav Yechon, Meshum Rav Meir, Malamed, Shoshava Kashtei, La'esana, his bow, meaning Rashi says, is Shichvat Zera, because Yoda Kachetz, it shoots like an arrow, went back to its place, meaning in other words, like his taiva calmed down. Marashah points out another possibility can also be, the word Kashtei can be related to the word Kishui. So therefore, so Vateshev, it went back to its original state. By a fozu zroya yodav, the pasuk continues that his arms were bedecked with gold. Now, by a fozu, poshet pshat is then it's meloshin paz. But the Gemara is understanding it also meloshin by a fozu, meloshin scattered. Vayafutsu actually explains it can be related to the word vayafutsu because Zion and Tzadik are both interchangeable, just like, for example, tsa'oka and za'oka, and zroya, then the Gemara is taking meloshin zera. So Malamed Shenoach Tzipon over Yodav Bekarka, he stuck his fingernails or his hands on the ground and leaned on them in order to be Masiach Das and in order to distract himself with the pain, and that way causes Yetzer to go away. Mind you, the Gemara tells us in the Masechta Shavuos, and it's in Halacha, in Hilchos Yisurei Biyah, and in Hilchos Nidah, that if a couple are having relations, and all of a sudden she says, Nipnei Sani, the husband has to do exactly that. He has to keep his weight on Tzipona Yodav Raglav in order to keep himself awkward as much as possible, and so that the pain should distract him as fast as possible, and that way it'll go down. So here Yosef did the same thing. The Yotzes Shichvas Zara, Tavoses, Midvein Tzipona Yodav. His shechvas zera, or his taiva, came out from between his fingers. So that can mean exactly what it sounds like he couldn't hold back anymore, and the Zera still came out. But instead of in a way of Isser with her, instead it came out, like, so to speak, in a lesser way of Isser. Mao Shaw points out that after all, we know that a person is not a man is not supposed to touch that part of his body, so therefore he couldn't touch it, so therefore, like, it came out between his fingers. Then Yehoyada goes even further, actually, though, and says that it means that B'chlal, here, like, a nes happened, and instead of it coming out from the aver where it usually would, instead that shechvas zera flowed literally out of his fingertips to show, like, at this point he had done nothing wrong, he did everything he could to control his taiva, to control his yetzer. The Yuniakov, yeah. That's why Menashe is not considered a complete Bachar, because he wasn't Koich Vireshis. Oh, no, interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting, yeah. Interesting, yeah. This also the Gemara is going to mention later on, that the Gemara is going to mention soon, that that Yosef should have had 12 children of his own, and instead he only had the two, Menashe and Ephraim, because he lost that opportunity, because here the Shechvas Zera came out between Esser, between his 10 fingers. So, Midei Avir Yaakov, this happened through the mighty one of Yaakov, Mi Godam Lashi Kosev Shmoy Agabe or Avne Eifert, El Avir Yaakov, was Hashem, the mighty one of Yaakov, and the fact that Yaakov's image appeared to him at that critical moment that saved him, and that caused that, after all, his name is written on the stones of the Choshen. And Misham Zocha Yosef Nikro Venasa, Misham Roya Evan Yisrael, Misham Zocha Yosef Nikro Venasa, Roya Yisrael, from there, because of this, because Yosef withstood this Nisoyan, therefore he had this supposed to be called the shepherd of the Jewish people. Shenema Roya Yisrael Hazina, as we address Hashem, the shepherd of Yisrael, listen, Noyeg Katsoin Yosef, who leads Yosef like the sheep. Fine, Yosef himself is considered almost like one of the Ovis himself, Bnei Yaakov, the Yosef Sela. So Yosef has these chus. Now, there was the idea, in other words, because, like this, we said before, that he, instead of being a Roya Zoinis, instead he became a Roya Eben Yisrael. And Ben Yehoyada also adds the point that it's also Roya, the same letters as Erva. Here he withstood it, a tremendous Nisoyan, the matter of Erva, and for that, the Erva turned into the same letter as Roya. So Yehuda and Tamar is a whole different thing. I mean, they're, you know, she before Matan Torah, anyway, such a thing is allowed, as the Rambam points out in Hilchos Ishus. The problem was really that the problem was that it seemed like an improper thing for Yehuda to do. But unlike here with Potiphar's wife, there wouldn't have been any actual Isser in it. It didn't apply to Yehuda because there's that's the thing. Unlike over here, where it is actually also for him, she is an Eishes Ish and Bnei Noach Mitzuvin Al Arayas. She was a widow at that time, and then before Matan Torah, the whole issue of a father-in-law and a daughter-in-law doesn't apply. So this is what happened. Why Yosef had this chus. This that was saying, by the way, that Yaakov's image appeared to Yosef, there is an explanation that it means. Now, first of all, Tosfos points out it seems a little hard to understand why Davka in the window, and the answer is because since it says it wasn't by Boyas, then it can't have been inside the house. It has to be therefore appearing in the window, which is outside the house. Marsha says actually it may mean that the window over here represents Zeh Shar HaShemoyim. So he saw the image of Yaakov that's engraved on the Kisei HaKavod. But there is actually an explanation that what it means is the fact that Yaakov and Yosef had that close relationship all those years ago. Eva told us Yaakov Yosef, as the Gemara is going to quote, that Yosef is in many ways a double of Yaakov. In other words, that was engraved within him and that itself. So it's not even that he had to see it with his eyes, but he felt it with his mind's eye that Yaakov is with me. And so they say it, but they say Taka Avort about that. Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch brings it in his writings. Other Achronim talk about this concept that a person Taka has to be very very careful with the chinuch of his children to raise them in such a way that they always have that he's always a role model to them in their mind, and that Taka can save them in later in life, no matter where they are from. Yeah. So the Gemara goes on, Tana, Roy Hoy Yosef, lots of men who Yudbe Shvatim. By rights, Yosef should have had 12 Shvatim come out of him himself. Kederach Shiyotzim Yaakov Oved, just like Yaakov had had 12 Shvatim come from him, Yosef should have had the same thing as well. Shenema Ela Tolus Yaakov Yosef. As we see, these are the descendants of Yaakov Yosef. So the same descendants that came from Yaakov should have come from Yosef as well. Because Marashal says, after all, otherwise it should have said Ela Tolus Yaakov and lists all the Shvatim, just like it does by Ela Tolus Noach, for example. So that means that he should have had, and we know, of course, Yaakov worked the hardest for Rachel, and Yaakov and Yosef have so many similarities, as you find in the Medrash, and Rashi brings a few of them. But because the Shechvas Zerah came out from between his fingernails, or from his actual fingers, as Beni Yoda says, therefore he lost that source, because now, after all, the fact is there was Zerah Levatola over there. And as you said, as he brought from the Irn Yaakov, that therefore his Bechor is not even really 100% a Bechor, However, those ten would be shvatim, those ten would be children, did come from his brother Binyamin. V'cholam nikru al shmo shel Yosef, and all of them, actually, their names, they all represent things that happened to Yosef. An interesting point, by the way, is that in Sefer Shoftim, when you have the whole story of Pilegesh Begiva, so you have the expression over there that says that after the whole thing happened and everybody's outraged and we need to do something about it. So the pasuk says they sent a message b'chol shivtei Binyamin, among all the shvatim of Binyamin. Now, what shvatim? Binyamin is one shevet. So there's actually an explanation. Here, the Gemara is going to say that Binyamin had 10 families. The other Shvatim sometimes considered those 10 families of Binyamin to be honorary Shvatim, so that it could be said that Rachel had 12 Shvatim come from her symbolically. Like, they respected the fact. We find, for example, in Megillas Rus, even though all the people in the story over there are from Beis Lechem and they're all descended from Leah, they still put Rachel first, to Rachel Uchaleah Shabonu Shtein, because they realized Rachel is the primary wife. So the same token, the other Shvatim honored Rachel's memory by considering the families of Binyamin to be almost like independent Shvatim of their own. Anyway, so Shenema, Uvnei Binyamin, Bela Vavecha Vashpel, Geira Benamon Echi Varosh, Mupim Vachupim Vaord, so those are the 10 sons. And these are, by the way, Binyamin has the most sons of any of the Shvatim. None of the other ones have anywhere near 10. So why do they give these names? So Bela was called that Shenivla Beina Umus, because Yosef was swallowed up among the nations. Becher, Shahoya Bechor Le'ima, he was the firstborn of his mother. Ashbel, Sheshavoy Kael, that Hashem took him captive. Gera, he called Shigorbach Sonius, because he had to live in foreign countries, in places outside Eretz Yisrael. The Naaman, his next son was Naaman, should know him be Yosef, because Binyamin remembered him, he was very pleasant. Echi v'Roish, his next two sons are called Echi and Roish, because Ochi v'Roish, he was my brother, and he was my head, my leader. Mupim v'Chupim, Ulei Ra v'Chupasi, v'Ani lo Ro'isi v'Chupasi, because Binyamin says, I didn't see his chuppah, he didn't see my chuppah, and I didn't see his. Now, that explains Chupim. What about Mupim? It actually brings from Medrash Tanchuma that Shehoi Piv Kipi Yaakov, that he learned directly from Yaakov. He learned all the halachas from Shem Ve'ever. So Mupim is Meloshin Mi Pi. So he had that, and Chupim, that we didn't see each other's Chupas. Va'erd, why did he name the last one Erd? Ikadam Rishi Yorod Levin Umasarulam. Some say because Binyamin did that in memory of the fact that Yosef went down among the nations. The Ikadam Rishi Ponav Dermin Levered. Others say because his face looked like a rose. He was very beautiful and had a very beautiful complexion like a rose. One thing we have to realize, by the way, is that Binyamin, even though he wasn't there when they sold him, he was the youngest after all. He was 8 years old. He was still back at home. He wasn't there when they were pasturing the sheep in Shechem and so forth. But it says he had Ruach HaKodesh. He knew what had happened to Yosef. Just he didn't tell Yaakov, because he was, for the same reason that Yitzchak didn't, because they both knew if Hashem's not telling Yaakov, then it's not our business to tell him. But therefore, so Binyamin would have very well known what was happening to Yosef all the years, and therefore he named his children in memory of that. And as we know, Rashi brings on the pasuk in Parashas Miketz that's why when they finally had the reunion and then Rashi brings over there that Yosef asks Binyamin, what are your children's names? And he tells him and he explains all these reasons. There's some of them Rashi says slightly differently based on Medrash Tanchuma. But anyway, Yosef's emotions were really stirred, and he went into a back room and cried before he came back in and said it's time for the meal. Okay, the Gemara goes on. Omer Rav Chiya ba'Aba, Omer Rav Yechanan. B'shosh Omer Parah le'Yosef. Now, let's go back to when, so in between, Marsha, by the way, points out the same way. In other words, we find where Yosef named his two sons after what he went through in Mitzrayim, Menashe and Ephraim, respectively. Nashani Alekim as Kolamoli and Ephrani Alekim Be'eretz Oni. So the same way, Binyamin named all his sons after what happened with Yosef. And Marsha also points out we do find some of the names are different in Parshas Pinchas, which is why the Gemara is dashing over here the meanings of the original names. In particular, Rashi mentions there in Parshas Pinchas one of the sons instead of Mupin is called Shafufam over there, and Rashi explains Shafuf Beno Omos that Yosef was trampled among the nations. So, Amar Pchiba Abba Amar Bechanan, the Shosh Amar Pari Le Yosef, will be Lodecha La Yorim Ishas Yodeg Es Ragloi, when Pari is appointing Yosef viceroy and is saying, without your permission, nobody's going to be able to lift his arm with weapons or lift his leg to ride a horse. So you're going to be in total control of all the warfare and everything else in Mitzrayim. Omer Loit Stagninov, so Pari's astrologer said to him, Eved Shalokhi Rabbi Be'estrim Kesef, what is this, a slave who was purchased by his master for 20 silver coins? Tamshilehu Aleinu, you're going to make him rule over us? And it was, first of all, he was an Eved, and Rashi brings, as Marshal brings, from Rashi on the Psukim, that in the laws of Mitzrayim, it said that an Eved can never be a king. So, and now on top of that, he was even sold for a cheaper price than normal. We find in Parshas Mishpatim that if a person's shur kills an eved, then he has to pay 30 selah. And here he was sold for only 20 selah, implying that he's not even worth as much as a regular slave. So I tell him that you're going to make him rule over us. Omalahen, so the Pari tells them, no, Gnuni Malchus Ani Roya Boy, I see in him the bearings of a king. Yes, so Rashi points out, yes, Chochma and strength and beauty, these are not things that you find by an Eved. Meaning, in the words that Marshal teaches out, Pari tells them, I can see that he must be from a royal family and he was sold as a slave unjustly, as Yosef himself had said, Kigunev Gunavti, I was kidnapped from Eretz Yisrael. So Pari says, I can see that in him. I can see he wasn't born a slave.
Why
they going to be such a fool? Yeah, no, definitely not. Omruloi, so the advisor said to Pari in Kenya, hey, you dare be Shivim Loshin. Well, in that case, in order to be a ruler, he has to know the 70 languages. Omulahan, Yehochi, so he says, fine, if that's so. Lamocha, Evdike Belelia, so tomorrow, Lamocha, Evdike, so fine, tomorrow I'll test him and see if he knows all the languages. Balelia, Bo Gavrio, Belinda, Shivim Loshin. That night, Gavrio came and taught him the 70 languages. Loy have a kagame, but Yosef wasn't able to pick it up. It's not that easy to pick up languages like that. Yosef loy oisachas mishmoy shalakadosh bochu. So Gavriel added him one letter of Hashem's name. The lamad, and now with that power that he was given minashamayim, he's able to learn. Shenema, as the pasuk says, edus be a Yosef somoy. It was made as a testimony, as evidence in Yosef, which is why we said before that he was added the letter because he was kiddush shem shemayim b'seisa. B'seisa al eretz Mitzrayim, when he went out as ruler over the land of Mitzrayim, sfasli a daiti eshma, a language that I didn't know until now, now I can understand. So Marsha points out, the Lord brings from Midrashim, this pasuk begins with an ayin and ends with an ayin, edus, and ends with eshma, to represent that now, as a result of that he had the hay of Hashem's name, now he's able to know the 70 languages and to be able to be this ruler. And all of this is because, again, if he hadn't withstood the test with Potiphar's wife, then none of this would have happened. So we're saying that as a result, so that's what Marshall is saying, as a result of the passing the test with Potiphar's wife, because of that, now he's zircha to a reward from Hashem. What was the reward? That when he needs it, that letter is added to his name in order that he can learn the 70 languages. So Marshall teaches out, that's how now we can understand the whole posik. Eidus v'yehosif. In the same way as we have the expression Shivte Koh Edus V'Yisrael, whereas it actually brings in Parshas Pinchas that all the names of the families over there have a Yud and a Hey affixed to them, the letters of Hashem's name as an Edus that they were all faithful in Mitzrayim. So the same way Edus V'Yosef Samoy, the Edus is in Yosef that he was faithful and he didn't get involved with his wife, and therefore so now he has Yud and Hey, So now because of that, he has the source, but say al Eretz Mitzrayim, that when he goes out as ruler over Mitzrayim, Sfasli Adaiti Eshma. Then Marsha also brings that there's a remez to it in what Pare says. When Pare says, Hanimtza kazer, isha she ruach alekim boy, how could we find anybody like that who has the spirit of Hashem in him? So the spirit of Hashem would be ruach alekim, would be the spirit of malachim, because alekim sometimes means malachim as well. So he's saying, Hanimtza kazer, meaning like hey nimtza, there has to be found a hey in order for him to have that ruach alekim, and sure enough, he gets it. And then achre hedi alekim oizcha, now that Hashem has informed you of all of that, then fine, then I can appoint you viceroy. The medrash actually that says on it, brought in Mam lawyers, I don't remember the mocker of it, that says that Pare had a throne of with 70 steps leading up to it. So each time when you had an audience with Pare, depending how many languages you knew, is how many steps you're able to go. So now Pare is testing Yosef on one language after another, and he knows them, so he's coming higher and higher up until he's standing next to Pare.
Including Aramaic?
The Vashta's including Aramaic, but
Aramaic.
We said before that maybe the Malach, first of all, that Tosfos had pointed out before, Gavriel might be different. We said before that when we learned the Sugya about the Malachim and Aramaic, first of all, not everybody agrees that it means they don't understand Aramaic. Tosfos pointed out it may mean they don't consider Aramaic a chosh of a language because they consider it like a deformation of Lashon Kodesh. But in any case, also, the Gemara actually mentions over there that Gavriel is different. We see here Gavriel taught him the languages, but fine, Marsha points out over there, Gavriel is not necessarily the Malach who's in charge of bringing our tefillahs before Hashem, so therefore that's why a person can't dive in Aramaic.
70. You see that in the Talatudim last yesterday, the Parsha, including 70 names of
Abishta. 70 names of Abishta and 70 names of the Jewish people, yeah. It's one of the longest Balaturims in there, yeah. It's funny, then he says, and then also Yerushalayim has 70 names, but he just stops there and doesn't list them. Maybe he ran out of paper. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, yeah. So let's start for us. So the next morning, Kol Lishna Dishtoi Pare Bagei, whatever language Pare is talking to Yosef, Adar Leihu, Yosef is able to respond in that language. L'soif Havakom Ishtoi Yosef Loshen HaKodesh. Later on, Yosef speaks in Loshen Kodesh. V'loi have a Pare Yoda, Mai have a Kamer. Pare didn't understand what he's saying. Marsha points out for a couple of things in this. First of all, again, we have a remez to it that Yosef's name is Tzofnas Paneach, which means he can reveal the hidden things. So a language which was hidden and not known to Pare, then Yosef knows. And also, apparently, Marsha points out, it means Lashon Kodesh apparently is not one of the 70 languages, the same way as when you talk about the 70 nations, it means besides the Jewish people. So the same way, the 70 languages would mean besides for our language of Lashon Kodesh. Omalei Mai Hai, Pare asks him, what's the language that you're speaking? I don't understand. Omalei Loshon HaKodesh. Now, there are, L'chora, it's hard to say that they didn't know Ivre at all. I mean, for example, later on, you have, you always had people traveling from Eretz Canaan to Eretz Mitzrayim, for example, and you had, they spoke their language, and Loshon Canaan is fairly close to, Loshon HaKodesh. So there's an explanation basically that fine, you have there's regular day-to-day Hebrew that people would speak, and then there's Loshon HaKodesh, which Pare being very far from Kedusha, then he's not able to understand that register of the language, basically. So Omalei Agmaron, so Pare says, teach it to me, because Marsha says, okay, you could say, fine, the law is the king has to know all the 70 languages. Fine, Loshon HaKodesh is not one of the 70 languages, but still it would be a gnai that the king shouldn't know something that one of his subjects knows. Agmaron, v'loi have a kogomir. So Yosef is trying to teach it to Pare, but he's not picking it up. Omalei ishtabali d'loi maglis. So Pare tells him, swear to me that you won't reveal the secret, because then it's going to look bad in people's eyes. So Yosef swore to him. Later on, this came in handy because Kika Omalei Yosef, years later, when Yosef tells Pare, Ovi Hishviani Lema, my father beswore me, saying, take my body and bury me in Eretz Canaan, Omalei, so Pare tells him, so what's the big deal? Go be Matu Neder. I don't have to give you permission to do that. And we see, Marsha points out, you see in the Psukim over there that Yosef couldn't just go unilaterally. He had to ask Pare for permission. By Dabu Yosef in base Pare Lema in Nomot Sosi Chen Beinechem Dabru Nabal's name. Pare, it sounds like he doesn't have an in with Pare himself to just go in and say, I'm going. So Marshall points out, after all, we know when Yaakov came to Mitzrayim and benched Paray, then from then on the Nilus was always rising, and whenever Paray came there, so now he wants to keep Yaakov over there. So Paray tells him, be Matur Neder, I don't have to allow you to go. Amalei, so Yosef threatens him, Itchel Nami Adidah. Fine, if I'm going to be Matur Neder of my Shavuot to my father, then I'm also going to be Matur Neder my Shavuot to you. Even though Paray was not very happy with the situation, Amalei says, fine, Aleo Kvaris Aviv Akasha Yishviacha. Fine, go bury your father as he beswore you. In other words, Paray is implying, if he hadn't besworn you, then I would prevent you, but now you have me over a barrel, so I haven't got much of a choice. Tosfos actually discusses, it's not here in Ein Yaakov, but Tosfos in the Gemara discusses, it's not actually so simple that that Yosef would have been able to be matur that neder. The fact is, we know when a person makes a neder or a shavua, I'll das somebody else, then it's not so simple whether we can be matur or not. The big machlokas we've shown him, whether it applies always, does it apply only if the other person did a tova for him, well, Yosef Paray definitely did Yosef a tova by making him vice lord, in any case, if it doesn't require a tova, if it's just the fact that he took it on the other person's das, it's not so simple. We find, for example, Tzidkiyahu went and was master of the neder that he made not to tell on Nebuchadnezzar, and he and the Sanhedrin got in tremendous trouble for it. So Tosfos says that actually that Yosef is threatening Paray, it may taka be an empty threat. He may taka not be allowed la halacha to be matur neder, but of course Paray is not going to know that. So therefore, so as far as Paray knew, Yosef had him over a barrel, and therefore he said, fine, I have no choice, I have to let you go. Yeah. Okay, Yom Yom Mashiach Ugo'ola, Yud Tes 7. Chazal tells Mashiach Ba Behesach Hadas. So what does that mean? I mean, we're supposed to always be thinking and talking about Mashiach, so we're thinking, we have Das, Makasha Daita, as Al-Tadeba explains in Tanya what Das is. It's connect your mind very strongly to something, to Mashiach Ugo'ola. So what happened to this Hesach Hadas? And certainly we have to be knowing and being aware that we're already at the entrance of Yemos Mashiach, Hinei Zeba, and Kola Kola Kitzin, and we've all done Shuvah and finished all the Avodah. So how does this fit together? So the Rebbe explains, because Hesach Hadas, actually the Al-Tadeba himself explains in the Geras HaKodesh, Hesach Hadas really means L'mayim in Hadas. So a person gets all of this penetrating his brain and his mind and his everything, but then it becomes that now at this point it's L'mayim in Hadas, it's beyond even Das, and it's just, this is how it is. Yeah? Continuing with Halachas of Yom Tov. When you have something which is not a Malacha Gemura, but something, however, that you're still not allowed to do on Shabbos for a chola she'en bo sakana, and we have various examples of that. So such things also you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov, on the first day of Yom Tov, or on either day of Rosh Hashanah, because you know the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are Yom Ha'arichta. The only way you could have it be done by a goy, or the Alter Rebbe says you could have a yid do it with a shinui. Yom Tov Sheni, for of other Yom Tov, even though you would be allowed to do such things, given that it's a Malach Gemura, and given that it is for a Chola, even though it's not Ayde Sakana. So then you still could do it, even without a Shinui, and even if it's not Chola Kol Gufa. But a complete Malacha, something that's actually awesome in Atara, that you can't do for a Chola Shein V'Sakana, even if he's feeling very sick, even Yom Tov Sheni, you would still have to have a Goy do it. So you have details in that are described in Shulchan Aruch. You'd have to ask the Shaila Schochem for the practical applications of it, is ask the Rav. But the basic idea is that there's a difference in that regard between the first and second days of Yom Tov.